Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for taking some time to listen to the Calm and Confident Leader. My name is Jason, and it is good to have you along in this journey. And on this podcast, we tend to take different topics and really focus in on them and hopefully give you at least one, often many, takeaways that you can actually put into action in your own life so that you can begin to make the transition from where you are today to being a calm and confident leader. And our home base, if you will, is actually over on Facebook. We have a group on Facebook called The Calm and Confident Leader, and we have interactions there and also post new content there. So if you'd like to join us over at The Calm and Confident Leader group, that would be awesome. That way I can interact with you on a more individual basis. But on today's episode, we're going to take the wide angle lens, if you will, and really talk about, number one, what is the transition, what is the transformation that we are hoping happens as we work to become calm and confident leaders? What are the things that we transition from, and what do we transition to? And then I really want to talk about why we don't experience calm and why we don't experience confidence. Because I think sometimes by looking at the negative, looking at some of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to do this, we can begin to construct a strategy for getting on the other side of it. So again, just more of a general episode today, but I think it's going to be incredibly helpful for you to be able to understand what is happening, what needs to happen in your world as you begin to make that move. And so, and this, by the way, this content actually comes from one of the modules inside of our coaching program. And so you're kind of getting an inside look at what we teach our students. But transforming from the inside out, here's a number of shifts that we want to see happen. First of all, we want to see a shift happen from being overwhelmed, which is a very common experience, particularly for leaders, because leaders are often given more than they can handle. There's often more than, more put on us, more expectations put on us. And, you know, not to mention most of the people who are attracted to this role of leader tend to be pretty hard on themselves. They tend to have high levels of expectation on themselves. And so you take the high expectations that those you're serving and leading put on you, as well as what you put on yourself, and very, very quickly you become overwhelmed. And so part of what needs to happen is we need to move from being overwhelmed to being clear and prioritized. So we want to move from being overwhelmed to being clear and prioritized. See, part of the reason why we experience so much overwhelm is all of the priorities or all of the issues or tasks or strategies that we are trying to implement are all at the same level or just minor differences. And so when you have a whole bunch of competing priorities all at the same level, what happens is you become overwhelmed because you go from doing few things well to doing many things poorly. And the way that you turn the corner on that is you begin to get clear on what you do best, clear on what your role is called to take care of, and then prioritizing, meaning what is most critical, what is second most critical, and so on and so forth down the line. And then really only work on those things that are critically important. Now, that doesn't mean critically urgent, because there's a lot of writing that's gone on between the urgent and the important, and there is a a sense where you have the putting out the fire mentality, where, you know, there's always another fire burning somewhere that the leader needs to step into. And that is not a great place to be if you're always putting out fires. Now, that being said, I think there's some leaders who just avoid all the fires and they just kind of live with their heads in the clouds, and that's not helpful either. So you need to have some priority around the urgent, and you need to create space for that. But the only way you do that is become very, very clear on what you are best at and what the organization needs most from you. And those are two sometimes different things or slightly different things. Let me talk about it. Here's what I know after working in an organization for 14 years. In those 14 years, as the point leader, I was called upon, or I should say, I figured out that the organization needed different things from me at different seasons in its life cycle. And so there'll be times where in a certain life cycle of the organization, you're going to need to have a more hands-on approach. There might be a season that you're invited to be more strategic. There might be a season where what the organization needs most from you is motivation and vision and direction, overall direction. And all of those things vary. Now, there are things that you do better than anybody else in the organization, and you need to make sure that that is a part of your job description. But you often, if you're the point leader, you have to be discerning enough to realize that not everything that you do great is going to be needed from you at every season in the life of an organization. And so part of what you're going to need to figure out is, what is the priority for me as a leader in this season? And if you realize that there's something that the organization needs from you that is not a proficiency of yours, you're going to either need to enlist someone from inside the organization or enlist someone from outside the organization, like a coach, who's going to come and help you with what your organization needs. Now, there are also some really good coaches out there that can help you figure that part out too, which is, what does the organization need of you? And they do a full analysis of where the organization's at. They talk to a number of people and they help you to kind of figure out what is most important at this stage of things. But all that to say, when we talk about the work we do here at the Calm and Confident Leader, we're looking to make a transformation from you feeling overwhelmed, from you feeling like, man, I don't know where to start. I have so many expectations and so many things on my to-do list. I don't even know where to begin, to really helping you get really clear on who you are and what you do best, and then help you prioritize between a number of things that are inside that ballpark, if you will, of what you do best, or inside that wheelhouse, I guess, is the expression that people tend to use. So that's our first transformation. The second transformation or transition that needs to be made is from being stressed and frantic, which, by the way, the people you lead feel that stress, that being frantic, that I gotta, you know, it's that sense of, I gotta figure this out, I gotta make this happen, man, I got so many things pulling at me, to transitioning to being at peace and comfortable. See, what happens a lot of times as leaders is we get out of our comfort zone, and or we get too many things going on at the same time, and it feels uncomfortable. It feels awkward, maybe. It feels, you know, more than overwhelming. It's I'm in over my head. I'm in a place that's maybe not my strength. And what happens when you're there is you're not comfortable, and everybody around you can sense that. They sense that lack of comfort. And you're going to need to make a transition from all of those things to really truly being at peace and being comfortable. Now, that requires you having a number of things happening inside of you, meaning you have to get comfortable in your own skin. You have to be comfortable understanding who you are, understanding your strengths, understanding your growth areas, and understanding what you do best, and then figuring out ways to leverage that. When you're in that place, I would call that the sweet spot, you're going to be a lot more confident. You're going to be a lot more comfortable. You're going to be a lot more at peace. Now, even along the way towards that, there are a number of things we can do, and we teach these in our program that'll really help you become at peace and comfortable rather than being stressed and frantic. Okay? All right, the third transition that needs to happen is a transition from being anxious and overthinking to being courageous. Now, how are those opposite? Well, let's think about this for a second. Anxiety, and we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, anxiety is when fear dysfunctions, meaning your brain tells your body that there is more to be afraid of, or this is a bigger deal than it really is. And so what your brain is doing is lying to you, or dysfunctioning is maybe a better way to say it, and it's causing anxiety in you. You're beginning to fear things that you really shouldn't fear. You're beginning to think life depends on something when it may only bring trouble in your life, but life doesn't depend on it. That's the anxious anxiety. It's this fear that's dysfunctioning. And then you have the overthinking. Now, the overthinking, and sometimes we call it overanalyzing, but really what it is your brain constantly spinning, trying to solve something that is unsolvable. Or more accurate to what we talk about in our program, you're trying to control something that is out of your control. And part of that overthinking is tag team with your anxiety, and so you're afraid of making the wrong choice. You're afraid of offending someone. You're afraid of disappointing someone. And so this anxiety and this overthinking and overanalyzing essentially causes you to freeze. It causes you to be stuck. And so there are moves that need to be made in your organization. Maybe there's somebody that needs to be fired. Maybe there's a big financial decision that needs to be made. Maybe there is a reorganization organized in your company or in your organization. And what happens is we choose no longer to make those decisions, and we think if I just stay here long enough, maybe the decision will make itself, or maybe it'll become more clear. And sometimes we even tell ourselves, well, I need more information. And if I could get some more information, then maybe I could make a better decision. And ultimately, what the transition here is, we go from anxiety, anxious, and overthinking to being courageous. And courage isn't the absence of fear. It's stepping forward even in the fear. Let me say that again. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's stepping forward even with the fear. Okay? And that's what we mean by courageous. And again, so much of that courageous, that confidence, that calm, all of those things that we talk about in our program really come from an inside piece here. There's an inside transition that's happening in us that allows us then to be able to make these courageous decisions. See, I've seen too many leaders, and they get in trouble this way, is they just think courage means I just jump at something. I just make a decision. And that's not the answer either. That isn't actually courage. That's stupidity. Because many times when you make those kinds of quote-unquote courageous decisions, they actually end up causing harm to people and to the organization. But when you have this internal, inside-out kind of focus, when you are at a place where you are calm, where you understand yourself, where you understand what you do best, then you're asking the right questions, you're gaining the right information, you're not overthinking and overanalyzing, and then you have multiple choices, and you say, this seems like the wisest choice, and now I'm going to courageously step into that wise choice. And that's a very, very different thing than just jumping at something just to make a decision. But I would say the bigger issue is not people jumping and making dumb decisions. What I see more often in organizations is leaders who are paralyzed because of anxiety and overthinking, overanalyzing. And that's why in our program, we help you get on the other side of that, because it is a death wish for any leader in an organization to be dealing with that anxiety and overthinking. All right, the fourth shift is a shift from being critical to being positive and open. One of the things that often happens in leadership is we begin to get a little jaded. We begin to think that we're the only ones who are working hard. We're the only ones who know what we're supposed to be doing. We're the only ones who care about the success of the organization or whatever. And so we become very critical of other people. We become very critical of their work style. We become very critical of when they show up, when they leave, how much creativity, how much professionalism, how much perfectionism we see. We become critical of everything, even those who are closest to us, those who work closest to us, and then it spills out into our home lives as well. And that can be a very dangerous thing. And so we want to make a shift from being critical to being positive, being open, realizing that there's more than one way to be successful. There's even inside the same organization, even inside the same strategy, there's more stylistic kinds of things that might be different. And we have to be open to that. And we have to be positive, because what our what those who we lead need from us is a belief, is a positivity to say, hey, I think we can get somewhere. I think this has got some real potential. And as people hear that positivity, it begins to move them in a good direction. The next shift is from doubting to being confident and decisive. Now, this is similar to the courageous piece, but just really taken down a deeper level. And that is that this is more of a, rather than it's a set of decisions and I need to make, I need to choose between these number of alternatives and choose the best alternative. What we're talking about in this shift is really about a self awareness and a self image issue. That doubting piece point here, the doubting piece is a self thing. It's like, I just don't know that I'm good enough. This is where we deal with imposter syndrome. I'm not sure that I'm the right leader for this. I'm not sure that I have those right skills for this time frame or whatever. And it's really helping a transition happen in our minds where we become confident and decisive people. It becomes the type of people we are because, again, we are at peace with who we are. We are comfortable in our own skin, and so we're able to do that. We're able we're able to be confident and decisive instead of being doubtful of who we are. The next to the last one here is from moving from worried to present and approachable. And the reason I contrast worry and present is because oftentimes when we're worried, there is a two-word phrase that consumes our thinking. And that phrase is, what if? What if? Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if she says that? What if he says that? What if they do that thing? And what if this doesn't work out? And what if the economy? And what if the government? And what if, right? And there's all these what ifs. And what ifs are future oriented, okay? What ifs are all about things that could happen in the future. And most of our worry, at least among leaders that I've found, relate to some future scenario that may or may not happen. And we want to be able to, and what happens, so let me just figure out how this goes. When you're worried, you're thinking about the future. Your brain becomes obsessed with the future, which means you are no longer present, because your brain has you in the future working out scenarios that, let's be honest, are very unlikely to come true. But your brain is spending a ton of energy and a ton of time working through scenarios that are very unlikely in the future. And what that means is you're not present in the moment. You're not present with the people that are there. And I've noticed this in myself, you can be walking across the building or walking across a parking lot or whatever. Your head maybe is down, your head maybe is up, maybe you're looking straight ahead, but your brain is not there. Your brain is in the future. And so when people see you like that, they see you and they might say things like, wow, she looks really busy, or she looks like she's really focused on something. And so what that means is that person who works for you, maybe even that direct report, is saying, I don't know that now's a good time for me to talk to that person. And so it lowers your approachability. So people are like, I don't want to interrupt them. I don't want to talk to them because I know that they look like they're very distracted. And it's because you're in the future. And when you're in the future, nobody can find you in the present. And you may, more often than not, this shows up more quickly at home, not at work. In fact, your spouse or your children or whoever you're living with is like, hello, Earth to so-and-so, are you here? Right? Because you're not present. And maybe you're on your device, you know, whatever. Maybe your brain is just somewhere else and you're not present. And so part of what we need to do is, yes, we need to pay attention to what could happen in the future. But I found with most leaders, we give it way, way, way too much time, way too much attention. And we need to learn to curtail that and put some boundaries or limits on how much time we spend in the future so that we can be present and we can be approachable to the people who need us to be approachable. All right, the last shift that needs to happen is a shift from pretending/managing to being authentic and real. Pretending/managing to being authentic and real. What we want to do is we want to see a shift happen from us pretending that we have more together than we do, or managing other people's impressions of us, managing their expectations, trying to say, hey, I didn't mean that, and I hope you didn't see me this way. And we spend so much energy trying to manage how people view us, how people see us, instead of being authentic, instead of being real. And that, you know, again, dovetails right into this being present and being approachable. If you don't come across as authentic and real, people are like, I can't relate with that person. I can't get close to that person. They don't even seem human. They may not say that, but that's what's going on. You seem superhuman, as we talked about on a previous episode. And that can be a very big turnoff to the people that work with you and the people who love you and the people you're in relationship with. And so we want to see a shift. And I would say one of the most exciting things about students in our program is this shift from worried about what everybody thinks, trying to be a people pleaser, trying to manage everybody's impressions, to really helping them become completely authentic, completely real, and comfortable in what they discover about themselves so that they can step into situations as a calm and confident presence. So it looks like I planned a little more than I could take on in one episode. So let's do a couple parts on this particular topic, because I do think it's going to have some relevance to all of us. I think even just these shifts, as we begin to talk about them, you begin to see what a calm and confident leader might look like. You begin to develop some characteristics of that, and you begin to see really what is keeping us, what is holding us back from the people that we really are made to be. And so on our next episode, we'll pick up this discussion. We'll talk about what is it that keeps us from being calm? What is it that keeps us from being confident? And I can't wait to have that conversation with you on our next episode of The Calm and Confident Leader. As always, I'd love to see you over on Facebook. Drop me a message and let me know that you are an avid listener. And please subscribe and tell other people about the Calm and Confident Leader as we continue to grow. Thanks. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you again real soon.